With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get ready for Christmas.
Well, the tree was supposed to be trimmed a long time ago.
It just got here.
WrestleMemus Pete!
WrestleMemus Mark! We're back with some more Christmas WrestleMemuses.
It's day two.
Yes.
The most Christmassy day of them all.
We haven't even worked out what day it is on your little chart.
No.
But you'll know, because you're listening to it.
You'll know.
You'll know.
Yeah. Sweet, nice one.
Bump this.
Today, we're going to do one of the matches that I think is... I don't know, it's one we've talked about before on old episodes of WrestleMania.
I genuinely had to go back to last Christmas to see if we'd actually done this as one of the matches, but we hadn't.
Like we had.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever done it. I think I might have just told you about it.
Yeah, I think I've seen it before. You might have played a clip possibly from it, but either way, we've talked about it at length before, but we've never actually watched it
and told what actually happened. Sort of a good way of coming across it, because this is the empty arena match between Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler, which took place on the 5th of April, 1981.
So the first time we watched, I saw this, which must have been like the second wrestle. I think it was one of those kind of like things that you really wanted to get off your chest and you really wanted to to make me see it so I knew how much you liked Terry Funk.
Yeah.
But back then, I had no concept of who Terry Funk was. I had no concept, certainly, who Jerry Lawler is.
Of who was good, of what was good.
So now I'm like going, oh, I know who that guy is. I know who that guy is. And they both look completely different to how I've endured them.
Yeah, well, What's funny about this match is for years it was really like a sort of mythical match. Before we got things like the network and YouTube, old wrestling was difficult to track down. And so I was really into tape trading in about sort of 2001 and for a couple of years after. And you used to sort of get people who would... People weren't really dealing in stuff this old. You'd get a lot of NWA and WCW stuff that, you know, had sort of... really the sort of late 80s and the mid 80s were very hard to find. People were really into Japanese wrestling. But stuff like this had sort of fallen between the cracks. But it was one of those ones, every now and then you'd find someone who was selling a thing and it would be the most legendary matches of all time.
Yeah.
And this match would always be on those tapes. But the quality used to be... It was like it had been filmed through, you know, a rhino hide. Yeah, they'd held a rhino hide over the television and then they just, you know, filmed it. And so it always had... a sense of, for about 30 years really, this was a sort of missing, lost match that everybody knew about.
Yeah.
And they've actually got it on the... There's a Jerry Lawler DVD.
Good God, who's buying that?
Well, I've got it. And it comes with a DVD of his early matches.
Right.
And this is the one that kicks it off. And it is in a quality that I have never seen it before. So I sent you a YouTube link
that's up on
YouTube. And that's fine. It's a little bit degraded. Mm. This one, to see it like that, honestly, it's like, I've never understood why people are like, oh, I mean, the remastering of the 4K.
I mean,
the colours and just the palette. And I was watching this and just going, this is brilliant. It's slightly like being there. And it's something so sort of familiar, having watched it a few times over the last couple of days, to then see it popping out. It was magic.
Smashing.
I cannot recommend that DVD enough. I got mine from CEX. I think it was £5.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, that's a real find in CEX, because usually CEX is just Bond films and, you know, Friends DVDs compilations.
Do you know the worst thing I've ever done?
What?
Have you been in the last sort of 6 months?
Mate, I'm always in the CEX. It is the best. And I believe they pronounce it sex inexplicably.
The worst thing they've done is that new wall that is just 50p films.
Right.
I don't want Bad Santa, you know, right? I don't want, what would be there? Layer Cake.
It's Layer just Cake, yes.
Continuously.
What was that science fiction film that...
Children of Men.
No.
See last episode.
No. Extension or something. It was Jude Law.
Oh, Ex Machina.
No, it was... No. It was something
God,
like...
Right. And he had like a bone...
He had a bone
shotgun.
Gun. Shit, like flesh gun. Was Scarlett Hansen in it, or am I thinking of the Ewan McGregor film about sci-fi?
Oh, I love that one. The Island.
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was really good.
So confusing.
But that'll be in the 50p.
Yeah,
The 50p yeah. thing is a really weird one, because none of the films are particularly bad.
No.
But you just go, I don't want to own it. No. Why do I want to own Deep Blue Sea? Or whatever it is, you know? It's, you can be guaranteed there's nothing good in there. I've got a really great fact about Sea Extra, I absolutely love.
What?
You know the one in Good Street?
Yes.
Has got an old sign outside, and it's got the man, the CEX man that you used to see everywhere.
It's over the road from a violin or guitar
That's
shop,
the one, yeah, mandolin sort of thing.
Yeah.
But that it's got the man on it, the little cartoon man.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
The cartoon man was designed by Charlie Brooker when he worked at CEX.
Really?
And I believe the one in Goose Street is the last remaining Charlie Brooker man sign.
Is that true? Because is that why they have so much cartoon, like really naff, like 90s sort of like, you know, like when you've seen computer magazines?
Yeah.
They couldn't get like artwork, because obviously there's only one bit of artwork from the video game. They just draw their own or paint their own version of Jet Set Willy or Sonic or whatever. Okay, right.
Yeah,
so
Charlie Brooker did a lot of cartooning and oink and things like that, but he was also, of course, very much in the computer game world at that age.
Interesting.
But that's the last one, a good bit of Brookery on.
Lovely, good.
What were we talking about? Yes.
Terry Funk.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, a match that I love more than any other, and I end up talking about CEX's branding.
It's your fault for buying wrestling DVDs.
Yes, it is.
But if I saw that in a CEX, if I saw the best of Jerry the King Lawler, I'd be like, that is not something you'd see. I might actually pick it up myself.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing I've noticed is that over the years, the WWE video, like DVDs and stuff, you see them everywhere. Mm. But there are certain titles that you just don't quite get. There's some recent ones that sort of pop out. Mm. And those ones, they come with... I mean, the Jerry Lawler... Jerry Lawler is a fascinating guy because he's, I think, in his fifth decade of being in the professional wrestling business. And he was a wrestler who was always on TV because he owned the Memphis territory.
Right.
So he was always at the top of the cards and it was always recorded. So he's really interesting. If you were like Greg Valentine, you would never have owned any of your footage. You'd have never have been on the main event of every car. Mm. But Jerry Lawler was. And so he has this huge body of work where he's worked with everyone over the years. And this match is actually a sort of really good example of that. So Jerry Lawler is at this point still a very regional star. What he really wants to do is he wants to get on the cover of one of the national wrestling magazines. So he rings up Pro Wrestling Illustrated and their publishers. I think he talks to the photographer Bill Apter. Mm. And he says, "What? I just want to be on the cover of the magazine because that would make me a star."
Yeah.
And he says, so I was trying to think about what sort of thing might get me on the cover. Mm. And that's when he came up with the Empty Arena match.
Right.
So he'd been working with Terry Funk for a while. I was reading his autobiography and he talks about this match. So he said, Terry Funk had come to town several weeks in a row and he and I had knockdown, drag out battles that only Terry Funk was famous for. We wrestled each other week in, week out for almost 2 months and somehow Terry kept coming up with the short end of the stick. Looking back, it may have had something to do with the fact I was part owner of the wrestling company. But nonetheless, Terry lost most of those matches.
You reckon?
Yeah. To keep our program going, we had Terry start complaining that he couldn't get a fair shake.
Right.
Now, the match itself is great, but there's a little audio clip that I've taken of, I think, a couple of weeks before, where Terry Funk makes he sets up the idea of having this empty arena match, and he puts it, the reason why they have it. And this is wrestling at its like most basic but absolute best. So yes, there's an empty arena match, but Terry Funk spends this little interview in about a minute and a half explaining why they're going to have to do it in an empty arena, and it's fucking phenomenal.
Terry Funk has something that he wants to explain about, and we are obliging him with that time.
First of all, I'd like to say that Jerry Lawler is a son of a jackass. He's a lover of chickens. He has a one-track mind, the same way a hog does at supper time or slop time. He's got a one-track mind, just as that hog does, but he's not concerned about slop. I want to tell you, Lance, what he's concerned about. The man is concerned about money and money alone. And within this area right here, he has got the fans on his side. And besides having the fans on his side, he has got the police on his side. And besides the police being on his side, he's got the officials on his side. And I would like to say this, he's got you on his side. This is a completely one-sided thing where Jerry Lawler is involved. Now, I am telling you people that he has got one thing on his mind, and that's money. And I'm going to prove to you, Lance, that he doesn't have any guts. And you see right here is I have got a date, I have got a time, and I have got a place. This is a personal invitation sealed right here to Jerry Lawler to ask him to meet me by himself with nobody else involved at an area that I know, he knows, and you will know, and I want you to bring the camera down there, but I don't want a referee. I don't want the police. I don't want the fans. I don't want money for this. What I want is I want to compete against Jerry Lawler, and I want to get him down and hold him down, and I want to make him say to me personally, Terry Funk, you are the better man. Terry Funk, oh, Terry Funk, oh, please let me up and let me go. That's what I want to make him holler. I want to see if he's got the guts to come down there. The guts. Like I don't think a lot of people have around here. And I'm talking about the fans, Lance. I'm talking about you. Right. I'm talking about a lot of different people. But Lawler does not have the stinking guts to come down there where no money is involved, where nothing is involved except personal pride. And I do have Texas pride, believe me.
Yeah, there it is.
Take this.
Okay, I will take it, and I will deliver it to Lawler in there. No money, no fans, he's crying Homer and all that. Well, there's the challenge from Terry Funk to Jerry Lawler, and we'll deliver it to him.
He is, if you didn't know who Terry Funk was, I think you'd listen to that and you'd go, that guy is a pro. We're used to seeing old, beaten-up, 62-year-old Terry Funk shuddering under, you know, a barbed wire thing at ECW when they can't get him off it. but in this, he is young and he is fantastic. The way he goes from sounding a bit sort of like, you know, paranoid and disgruntled to sounding insane is absolutely brilliant. You can hear a lot of Mick Foley later sort of interviews that he did in that Funk interview. And it's brilliant. So they set that up really well. And a lot of this match itself is not a very good match because it's weird. It's really short as well.
Yeah.
Lawler talks about it in his book and he says it was much, much... If we'd have thought about it more, we'd have made it much longer. Mm. We'd have done more with it. We'd have made it more hardcore. But he said, but we just didn't really know what we were doing. No one had done this before.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
He also talks about when they're actually doing the match, how embarrassed he was, because he's like, we didn't know what to do, so we were sort of making extra noises.
Right.
And I read that before I watched the match back, and Lawler does not make any noises. Right? He does nothing. What this match is Terry Funk basically having a match against himself.
Yeah.
Lawler is just walking around after him, and Funk is just phenomenal. The stuff around this with, like, Lance Russell, who is the announcer, when it first kicks off, they've done it that they've gone down to, like, this empty arena and they're just seeing if either of them turn up. And they're there to film it in case they do.
Yeah.
And they do a great bit where Lance Russell is sort of going, well, it's probably going to be, I mean, the worst we lose is a bit of time. Going to have a, I mean, we've still got the light. Are you okay there, Bert? And he gets a cigarette out and he lights his fag. And he sort of goes, yeah, well, anyway, yeah. Well, should we make a start? Do you want to give me a count? And he puts the throws the cigarette down. I mean, again, if the problem with that is that sets it and you go, this is real.
Yeah.
But if it was real and on television, you'd go, come in after that bit, where you actually start it. The other thing, nobody lights a cigarette, takes one puff and goes, well, actually, we should probably start, throw that away. It's all a bit wrong.
Bad planning.
Yeah. But he just does it. And the way he goes from that casual sort of bit of scene setting, little bit of acting, to clicking into being Lance Russell, who is one of the iconic wrestling broadcasters, but who was never really on the big stage. Mm. He never went to WWE. He did do a couple of years in WCW, but they're not particularly well remembered compared to his legendary run in Memphis. But the way that he just shifts into that classic bit of wrestling announcer speak is just brilliant. So, I mean, I know this is going to make the episode long, but we're just going to listen to that whole bit because it's a thing of beauty.
It's just, huh? Yeah, sure. That's okay, yeah. I just want to do an old opening in case this crazy thing comes off. And then if it does, we've got something. If it doesn't, all we've lost is a little time on it. So, let's see. I guess we got enough light and everything. We can pick it all down. And what we'll just, you know, I don't even know that they're either one of them going to show up. Yeah, okay, pardon me. Let me get rid of the cigarette. Give me a countdown, will you? This is Lance Russell standing in the middle of an empty Mid-South Coliseum. I think most wrestling fans know that Terry Funk, the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, issued a challenge to Jerry Lawler to meet man to man.
Yeah, so out they come. Lawler comes out wearing his crown.
Yeah. Standard.
And his cape. Again, he says in his book, there at the back of the Coliseum I stood, and I remember later thinking how stupid I looked, standing there in full regalia, tights, crown and cape, with no fans in the building. Why did I wear the crown and cape? The crown's like three times the size of his head. It's absolutely brilliant. And what's great about Terry Funk is Terry Funk is never one to let a little moment pass. Mm. And Terry Funk clocks him, and he obviously sees something in Jerry Lawler that's going, oh, I shouldn't have worn this. And Terry Funk, the moment his eyes meet him, he just goes, look at that idiot. Don't you realise there's nobody here? You jackass.
He loves the word jackass because he's like, oh, you son of a jackass, a lover of chickens.
Yes.
He's got a one-track mind like a hog.
He's so good. The other thing he does in this is Lawler basically, when they sort of like get near each other, Funk is already like falling backwards. He is just perpetual motion. He'll go into the chairs and he sort of gives himself an extra push, but he doesn't really make any attempt to hide it. So he'll sort of flail for a chair and he'll grab it and he'll pull it over his own head and then wriggle. And he is just, there's a bit that really made me laugh. So they're going through having this match and Lawler is just walking after him and Funk is just chucking himself about. Yeah. There's a bit where he gets a bit further away and he's a bit distant and he just goes, leave me alone! Leave me alone! And then he comes after him with a sign. All of it is, I don't know why it's so funny. It's just absolutely great. He starts bleeding seemingly for no reason. There's no reason. He just starts like, you know, oh God. And then he does it, like all of the stuff he does is really like the opposite of what you do in this situation. If you were in this situation, you would sort of go, I'm going to be a hard man.
Yeah, you're going to up the intensity.
Yeah, this is Terry Funk screaming like a woman for no reason for about a minute.
He's absolutely screaming, just asking. give me help, wow.
There are some bits that honestly, he's so, as a performer, he does something that nobody else does. Mm. And oddly, no one's ever really done it again. I think the only comparison is Cactus Jack when he was doing the death matches. He would do, you know, what? Like a pig, but nothing like Funk's womanly screaming, which is just brilliant. The end comes in very simple form. So Funk has got a spike, which I think is part of the sign, and right. He has it. Now Lawler is the good guy, so Lawler can't jab him in the eye. And what happens is he goes through the ring, Lawler kicks him on the elbow, and Terry bangs the spike into his own eye, and the match is called as Terry just brilliantly. It's so weird to hear a man just screaming, you know, and just go, please help me. He changes a total, like, you know, 360 into this big, or 180 probably, if we want to get it right, into this sort of like screaming, get me help, my eye, somebody.
It's so odd.
And there's a long version on the DVD, which I don't think is on YouTube.
Right.
And it has Funk, and it goes on and on and on and on with him screaming over his eye. And slowly, he begins to turn. So instead of going, help me, help me, help me, it ends with him shouting, Lawler, you yellow pig! Pig! Pig!
Because it just... It would cut. As soon as the match was, like, lost, or, you know, he'd popped his eye or whatever, like, Lawler's gone, and he's just screaming at him for ages.
Yeah.
And it makes it kind of more tense, if anything.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, again, I think, you know, if you weren't a fan of wrestling, this would seem absolutely abhorrent. The whole thing would just be, like, dirty and foul. And as a fan of wrestling, I just go, yeah, nobody did that before.
No.
Nobody's done it since.
Well, that's the thing. I watched another match with Funk versus Bruce Walkup.
Uh-huh.
In an empty arena cage match. And then Mankind and The Rock did it as well. And it's like, It's quite a good idea, really.
Yeah, yeah, it
you
is.
Know, nowadays.
The funny thing is that they do it because they want to show that, you know, in a way that they've gone beyond wrestling, that, that right. Funk is very much in that promo. He says, you know, Lawler, you're only interested in the money. Mm. And we're going to do it in this empty arena match. There'll be no money because it's all about pride. It's all about whether you've got the guts. You know, you don't get your money. What's interesting, of course, is you know, they were going to do their normal taping after it. So they just went in a couple of hours early when everything's set up. And then they just do that. And what you end up getting is, oddly, the show that follows that, nobody remembers. Don't remember a thing about it. But that thing they did, just, it's the creativity of wrestling, really. I think it's that thing of going, we've got an opportunity here to do something different. Mm. Let's do it. It turns out, even at the time, I don't think either of them knew how good it was. I mean, Lawler, as he says, you know, they didn't really know what it was. He felt silly. Could have been longer, could have been more hardcore.
Yeah.
But they just didn't have a clue. Lawler did say about Terry Funk, he said, there's not many wrestlers who would blade themselves as closely to their eye as Funk did to make that look real. And that's where Funk is. I mean, not just the fact that he does everything in this match. He does all the promos. He does all the wrestling. He takes all the abuse. Lawler's in a white suit and he goes out in, you know, a leotard. Mm. And he goes out absolutely pristine. And Terry Funk is there holding the remains of his face, you know, and screaming about yellow pigs.
And this is in the match. You know, this is in, this is like him doing a warm-up, effectively.
Absolutely, yeah. So Jerry Lawler calls Bill Apter, who's been there taking the photographs, and he says, do I get my cover? And Apter says, no. And he gets a photo spread. Within 6 months of this, though, Lawler would become nationally famous because he would have a feud with Andy Kaufman, the sort of performance artist comedian.
Oh, is that why? Right.
So Andy Kaufman was doing he was into wrestling and he came down to Memphis with the idea. He was doing an intergender wrestling thing.
So they
reached out to him and said, would you like to come and do that here and we could work something out? So within 6 months, Lawler is then on Letterman. You know, his very, very brief run with Andy Kaufman, which both men adored, would end up becoming a film, you know, in Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
You have a big section. Lawler plays himself 25 years after he was himself, and he looks pretty much as good in the ring.
Oh, amazing.
Now, or then, when they did Man on the Moon, as he did like in his heyday.
Yeah.
It's a really good film, Man on the Moon, and it's just, Lawler's very, very good in it. In his book, he talks about how Jim Carrey was really horrible. So he also didn't like Courtney Love, said she smoked all the time. But Lawler does eventually get the covers of Pro Wrestling Illustrated or Wrestling Superstars, I forget which one it was, when he books Andre the Giant in to Memphis, and he works out a loss where Andre loses by count out, so Lawler wins. And they had lots and lots of photographs of Lawler looking tiny against Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant at the time was booked solely by Vince McMahon Sr. He was the guy who did all the bookings.
Yeah.
And he wanted to protect Andre because Andre is the biggest attraction in wrestling. So Pro Wrestling Illustrated run it saying the night a midget beat Andre the Giant. Lawler had to accept the fact that they were going to bill him as a midget for him to get the front covers. Vince McMahon Sr. was absolutely furious.
Really?
Because Andre the Giant has been beaten by a fucking midget. You know, what is this? The groups that used to control wrestling of all the owners, so Terry Funk was part owner of Texas, the territory, Jerry Lawler, part owner of Memphis, you had Vince McMahon, who was the owner of the WWF, were all part of this big convention. And this magazine came up at the convention, and Vince McMahon Sr. was talking about how furious it made him. And Jerry Lawler was sitting there thinking, I don't think he knows it's me. And suddenly Terry Funk stands up and says, McMahon, do you want to know who the midget was? And dobs him straight in.
Nice.
It's Jerry Lawler. I mean, we've talked about him before on the shows. He is he's a great performer. He is a slightly sketchy man. And he is, you know, sexism and stuff is a bit wearing and everything. Mm. But honestly, the documentary about him and the DVD matches are phenomenal. And his autobiography is one of the most candid ones in wrestling history.
I had no idea he was so savvy, like, you know, owning territories and you know.
Yeah, he's done very well for himself. He owns an original Batmobile, for example.
Okay, right.
And if you would like to read about two or three chapters, I think, of the divas that he wishes very earnestly he'd had sex with. It's just amazing.
Christ on a bike.
I tell you, Sonny's one of those divas I would have loved to have had sex with. It's literally that about, and I tell you, when we get to Trish Stratus and Lita, oh, they made it clear they didn't want to sleep with me, but I would have loved to have slept with either of them.
It's not matchbooking. Like, you can't just book yourself to a sexy match.
I'm the owner of the women territory. No, you are not. Now, we've been over this before, Mr. Lawler. But yeah, so this is absolutely, I enjoyed this so much. I'd forgotten how little wrestling there is. Actual physical, if you like, the sport of wrestling. But everything around it is wrestling done to perfection. You know, the promos, the story, the setup, the tension, the build, the payoff, everything's perfect. Absolutely great.
So that was Jerry Lawler versus Terry Funk.
Yeah, the infamous...
In no one.
Yeah, empty arena match.
What a pop.
Absolutely. In some ways, I mean, it's, you know, a little bit like doing podcasting, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. You're just in a room shouting at each other for half an hour and then we just go home.
That's it, yeah. My
ear!
You have been a yellow pig and...
My ear! This podcast is awful.
And we will see you in a couple of days for day three of Wrestle Me Mass.
My favourite thing we've done in a while, this next episode, so look out for that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.